Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Everything was neat. All the chairs were tucked in. It was fine. I didn't have to move anything, and I just walked through and came back. And then just now, I got up and walked around, did the same loop, and there were like 10 chairs as askew in there as I've ever seen. I don't understand. Like, what happened to those chairs?
It's Mike Shope.
I don't know. What would make the most sense?
And the Bulldog.
I am shook by this. Honest to God, I do not understand what just happened.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Did you go down there during a break and move the chairs?
I've been doing it every day.
It was me all along!
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
You got to work with somebody for like more than 20 years to do that to one another. That's a trusting relationship is what that is right there. Hey, glad to have you with us. Mike is away today. Should be back tomorrow. I am the Bulldog. Very happy to welcome in on the Wester Hotline, Steve Bennett. Usually we get people in the media who cover the teams that the Bills are going to play. Steve Bennett does not do that. Steve Bennett hosts a podcast about sports. I'm reading from Twitter. I know because I've been on the show. Sports media, and the way sports and pop culture intertwine in the world around us. But he is a psycho. Well, sorry, that's pejorative. He's a big Saints fan. And when we were getting the week rolling and trying to lay out our week, the first name that popped into my head, because honestly, I do not know any Saints beat reporters by name. I don't have any of their numbers in my phone. I thought, we should call Steve. And so here he is, Steve Bennett, making his, debut, unless Mike maybe has talked to you when I haven't been here. Steve, good afternoon. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
Hey now, Bulldog. Thanks for having me. I mean, really, thank you very much, because you could have easily gone the beat reporter route, but I think I have some insight. I was on one time on the morning show back in 2013, after my brother won the national championship at Yale.
All right.
We had a brief moment of celebrity, I guess, for a photo that we took. And they were nice to have me on there. But the first time on the afternoon drive, so thanks so much for having me.
All right. Nice of you. I'm sorry that Mike's not here to enjoy it, but he was here when this idea was born. It was like, well, I've got his number if you don't. I'm like, no, I definitely have it. So glad to have you. So this is probably more like a lot less of the usual who's practicing, who's not, who's heard, who's not, although I'm not denying that you may know all that. It's more like a vibes check. Sure. Tough times for the Saints, it seems, there, to put it mildly.
Yeah, I mean, this is something I think that's very relatable for Bills fans, right? We're still not that far away from Drew Brees leaving, you know, and very rarely in this league is, you know, Steve Young waiting behind Joe Montana, you know, or Aaron Rodgers behind Brett Favre, mm-hmm. or even Andrew Luck after Peyton Manning, even though they had a year in there that was really bad. And they did something really bad after Brees, and they kind of tried to middle it and kind of rebuild without rebuilding, and it didn't work. And those years are much worse. So, like, as bad as this has been so far, and we can talk about how bad it's been, it's better than another year of Dennis Allen and Derek Carr going 8-9. You know, I don't need that. That's not going to do anything for anyone. So there is certainly coming into the year, there's a little bit of optimism about Kellen Moore coming in. You know, they drafted a quarterback at 40 overall in Tyler Shook. That doesn't seem like it's working out. But, you know, Spencer Rattler starting, he's not Derek Carr. We knew what Derek Carr was, and you know, not going to move the needle that much, although, you know, he had some nice games, some great throws here and there. But so where are the vibes? You know, I'm not sure yet. We're trying to find who our Josh Allen after Jim Kelly is going to be. And I know for Bills fans, that was a long, hard process, and we could go through the names that were in between there. And it's hard.
We could, but I don't want to.
It's hard. And it's not just the Saints or the Bills. Like I said, very rarely is it like, oh, Montana's gone. Thanks for four Super Bowls. All right, Steve Young, you go ahead. And even that, in some ways, wasn't even easy for Steve Young, but that's a different conversation. So, you know, I don't know exactly where I'm at, but I know I'm in a better place than last year. But I'm not in as good of a place as I would have been if we did this before that disaster in Seattle.
Yeah, I guess one way to maybe look at it, you might still be in a tunnel, but you're at least heading out of it instead of continuing to drive in and dig deeper, I think, right? Trying to just keep going the way it was going and patchwork, and, you know, eventually the salary cap hell was going to come and get it out of the way while you're down. So, yeah, I mean, they're still going to have to find whether Shug ends up being that guy or it's another guy that they draft maybe as soon as next April. They're going to have to find a guy to work with Kellen Moore.
You know, maybe it's Spencer Rattler. I'm not willing to totally close the door on him yet. I mean, he's 0-9, okay? So it hasn't been the best start. He hasn't won a game yet. Now, some of those from last year were games where he had no chance. I mean, no Shaheed, no Olave, no Kamara, no offensive line. No one would have won. And he's been okay this year. You know, he only has one interception, and it was on a fourth down play where it was essentially an arm punt. You know, the play's blown up. You might as well throw it up into triple coverage. Maybe your guy gets it. So he's taking care of the ball. They're having trouble getting the ball downfield, though. Everything is really close to the line of scrimmage. And if you have Josh Allen, you can get away with 10 air yards in a game and still be fantastic. We're having trouble getting the ball down the field. Now, I'll say this in terms of optimism. The first two games in New Orleans, they had the ball at the end of the game with the chance to go down and tie the game or win the game. In the first game, Spencer Rattler had the ball in Juwan Johnson's hands in the end zone, and he didn't survive the ground. Or they may have won that game, but they didn't. And then the next week, they didn't quite get as close in that final drive against San Francisco. Either way, they didn't get it. And I kind of knew that when that show got on the road, there was a chance it turned into a circus. And last week was a circus.
Right.
I mean, a circus. That game was over 7 minutes into the first quarter. Over.
I was following along with you on the socials as that was unfolding on Sunday. So, I felt it. Well, you mentioned the trouble getting the ball downfield. That reminds me, Mike asked me to ask you how you could complete 10 passes to Chris Olave for 15 yards. Which is that what happened last week? Do I have those numbers right?
I don't have it right in front of me. That's really close. I think he might have got a couple more than 15, but it's in that ballpark.
Yeah.
And Chris Olave, I think, he can be special. I think Rashid Shaheed can be special, too. So I think there's talent on the team. You know, before the season, when I was seeing the power rankings of 32, 31, win one game, win two games, I was thinking to myself, I don't think they're going to be that bad. And the first 2 weeks, I felt sort of justified in that. I think that the talent, there is some talent on this team, but I knew that if they didn't win one of those first two games, they'd probably be 0-4. Listen to this, Bulldog. The line opened at 15.5. I think it's still there. I checked before we called. This is the biggest underdogs the Saints have been since 1985 against Joe Montana's 49ers when they were 16-point underdogs. So, I mean, look, nobody wants to watch us. We don't have any national games. Nobody really wants to talk about us. And if I'm being fair, there's not much to watch or talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really want to watch or talk about us, but, you know, I'm 35, almost 40 years into this, and you know, I'm stuck now. I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, right. I exaggerated. I'm sorry. It was 10 for 57, which...
57, yeah. But, I knew it wasn't great. I knew it wasn't 100.
Right. On 10 catches, yeah. So that's a tough total. Talking with Steve Bennett, a longtime Saints fan on the West Her Hotline, host of the Sportscasters podcast. If you have not checked it out, I would highly recommend it. It's an excellent, excellent podcast on, well, on broadcasting and other things, mostly Pearl Jam. And so Steve's here with us talking about the Saints. So there are still, I mentioned Olave here. Brandon Cooks is a name people recognize. Shahid is, you know, someone who's been, like, you know, on the radar. And, of course, Alvin Kamara is still there. I'm not all the way up on what everyone's contractual status is. Do you anticipate any of those guys maybe being moved as we get, you know, through October and toward the trade deadline, Steve?
Nothing would shock me. You know, I think Alvin is probably the name maybe you get the most for. Maybe it's Olave. Probably one of those two guys. Definitely wouldn't shock me. I think Alvin does want to be in New Orleans. He just re-upped last year. You know, they came to an agreement on an extension, and you know, obviously when you do something like that, all the rhetoric is, this is where I want to be. I want to be a Saint. I don't care what people are saying about us. He said all those things, and he's an all-time New Orleans Saints player. You know, I hope we haven't cost him the Hall of Fame, but he's certainly a Saints Hall of Famer even at this point. I could see some of those guys move. I don't think it has to be done, but it certainly could be done.
Yeah, because I wonder if we're really at like a square one. Kamara is really the name, because a running back at his age.
Yep.
But, you know, that also comes with, well, what do I actually get for him, and is it worth doing? You know, because of his age and the contract, like, it might not be an easy ask. As good as he's been, you know, if you're buying someone who's got a big contract at his age, that usually mitigates what you're going to get in return, and then you're back to, well, why am I really doing this?
Yeah, and that's a fair point, because, you know, if it's a fifth-round pick, if it's a fourth-round pick, I mean, I think it's going to have to be Alvin really wants to go somewhere. That somewhere really wants Alvin. And Mickey Loomis and Kellen Moore sit around and say, you know what, we owe this to him. Let's do this for him. I mean, you can't make decisions like that in the NFL. You have to do what's best for your team. But I think if you're going to move a guy like Alvin, because you're not getting a first-round pick for him right now. You know what I mean? I think the guy who has the most value in terms of assets coming back is probably Olave. But I don't know why you'd trade Olave necessarily. And I don't know if anyone's going to want to take the risk, because he's already had a few head injuries in the league.
Yeah.
You know, he had a shutdown last year. So is his value going to be worth the risk for other teams? You know, I still believe, and I could be wrong, Bulldog, and it ultimately comes down to, you solve quarterback and do you solve coach? And the book's out yet on Kellen Moore. I do like him. There's been some things I didn't like in the game so far, but I do think you don't have to be bad really long in the NFL. I mean, some teams are, but I don't think you have to be. And, you know, Mickey Loomis has two of the best draft classes of all time in 2006 and 2017. And both of those draft classes came after kind of bad seasons. Now, with 2006 also came Drew Brees and Sean Payton. But you can rebuild that way, and you can do it relatively quickly. But in between those draft classes, there's also been some really bad picks, you know, like Marcus Davenport, which led to the decision to let Trey Hendrickson leave because they had so much invested in Marcus Davenport. And probably everyone out there knows who Trey Hendrickson is. Probably everyone's like, Marcus who? You know, there's been some bad decisions as well. So we'll see.
Before I leave the offensive side of the ball, is it I don't know. What level of upset are you that Shug hasn't been able to? You mentioned you're not done with Rattler despite the terrible one-loss record so far. Are you waiting for them to pull the shoot on him to get Shug in there, or is that more of a longer-term thing, if it's a thing at all?
Yeah, well, first of all, he's not young, so I don't know how much time we have to wait around if we're going to decide to make him the option. I think he's 26 years old at least already.
Right.
Here's the thing, though. There wasn't one day this summer, not one day, where I thought, wow, Tyler Shook might win this job. Like, Spencer Rattler bodied him. right? So, like, there was never a day, not one, where I read, and I read Nick Underhill. You said you didn't know the names, but these are the names. Nick Underhill, Mike Triplett, Jeff Duncan. I read all these guys every day, and not once was the vibes come out of camp like, uh-oh, you know, we might have drafted a guy here at 40. They might have hit on something. And believe me, I wanted that. I wanted nothing more than to be able to say to everyone, like, hey, we picked a guy at 40. What a deal. I don't see that. I probably right now, as we talk today, Bulldog, more see a scenario where he never has a meaningful role as a Saint than him having one. Like, if you gave me, you said, here's $50,000, you got to put it on Tyler Shook as a meaningful Saint or never has a meaningful role. I'm putting it on never having a meaningful role.
Man, that is heavy. How about on the defensive side of the ball? I mean, we know some of the names. We ran them down on offense, Kamara, Olave, Shahid, you know, quarterback. Defense, like, if someone's going to show up and be a problem, is there someone on the defensive side of the ball that's going to show up on Sunday and be a problem for the offensive line, for Allen down the field, whatever?
Well, Chase Young we haven't seen yet. I don't know for sure if we're going to see him this week. He hasn't played yet this year, but he's not on IR, so he certainly could play. I don't know how close he's getting. That's certainly a name that people know as a pass rusher. I think he was a second overall pick at one point to Washington. So maybe he plays, makes an impact. Cam Jordan, I think, is going to be an NFL Hall of Famer. He's just passed Drew Brees for most games played as a Saint. He had 2 sacks, I think, in the first game. He still has his moments, but also, like, I didn't hear his name at all last week. Not that I heard anyone's. So, you know, he is up there. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He can get you. He can still sack you, for sure. Pass defense has been an issue. I think QB efficiency, I think the Saints are the third worst. I think only Dallas and Miami has been worse in terms of efficiency. Quarterbacks have 7 touchdowns, and we haven't had an interception yet. So certainly through the air, we've been getting beat up. Curtis Granderson is another guy that's played pretty well that can, you know, can get to the quarterback. My worry is when we turn our back on Josh Allen and start heading up the field, even if we keep, say, Pete Werner in the middle there to keep an eye, I don't know that he can play that role and really cause Josh Allen a lot of problems. I mean, I'll be honest, I think it's 15.5 points for a reason.
Yeah.
And when I look at the matchups and the way we match up with the Bills, it's not one where I'm like, this is one where we could really sneak up on them. Now, when these point spreads get like this, silly things happen sometimes. You remember the Bills game against the Vikings a few years ago. I think the Bills were like 17, and they won that game outright.
They did, yeah. They killed them. Minnesota didn't score until like the last – to avoid maybe their first ever shutout until very, very late.
Right, and I think that probably will be a desperate team. I would hope we would be. But here's something Kellen Moore has said over and over that he's 100% right about. The Saints do not do enough of the things that winning teams do. And we're not good enough to overcome those things. We're first in the league in false starts. Like, we can't line up. Kellen Moore said this week that they're actually going to simplify the offense a little bit so that, like, we can snap the ball without somebody going off sides or, you know, not setting on motions. We've got a couple of those. I mean, the penalties are out of control. Turnovers haven't been as bad as you would think, but they just make too many mistakes. They're their own worst enemy. Special teams we haven't talked about. They've already missed 3 field goals, and they've given up. They gave up a touchdown on a punt return last week, and they've given up a ton of yards on returns. So they're just not doing enough of the things that winning teams do. It's not about perception. You know, sometimes these spreads can be really high. There's been times where people are like, man, the Saints are going to get killed, and I'll be like, man, they don't know. They're sleeping on us. I don't think anyone's sleeping. I think everyone's awake. You know, I think there's some games in the second half of this schedule they can win. I mean, they play the Giants. I mean, they play the Dolphins, the Jets. You know, they got Carolina. There's some winnable games. I think they can win 5-6 games, maybe, if all things go well. I don't know that Sunday's the day that we – see, I was there in 1989 when John Forcade you know, won the snowball game. I was there in 2001. Saints fans call it the Albert Cano game because he had a touchdown for the Saints. Then that week, stole money out of Deuce McAllister's wallet, tried to play it off his hazing, and got cut. We won that game in 2001.
We in Buffalo refer to, well, we as Bills fans anyway, Steve, refer to that as the Sam Coward game.
Okay.
I think, is that the right, I think that's the year that Coward.
Right before 9/11, 2 days or whatever before 9/11.
I think I might be conflating different Saints games. Anyways.
It was opening day and it was very hot at the stadium.
Yeah.
We won there our Super Bowl year in 2009. They had Terrell Owens on a bomb that could have changed that game. They missed it. Saints won that game when I won the Super Bowl. I still can't believe I can say that out loud. And then in 2017, the last time we were here, the Bills are 5-2.
You beat the doors off them. Yeah.
They killed them.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hold on to that memory. It's my last memory at the stadium. I don't think I'm going to go down there this week and kind of erase that fine moment. But like I said, I mean,
yeah.
I'm trying to be honest. There might be some Saints fans who listen to this. They might be mad at me, but they know it's true. You know, this isn't it. And look, here's what I'm going to say, though, Bulldog. I don't know how we're doing on time, but I'll have to say that.
We're fine, dude.
I made the mistake we all made as Buffalonians before we drafted. I'm not even going to say his name. Of rooting against my team. I made that mistake. I sold my soul. I went down to the arena downtown and, like, cheered for Jonathan Toews to score that in that Blackhawks game or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never doing that again. Like, I'm going to the TV every week. I'm watching these games. I'm putting my heart into them. I'm hoping they win. I'm assuming they won't. You know, I said one of the things that was so frustrating last week was I'm willing to accept almost anything from them this year. That wasn't acceptable. You know, my bar is so low, and they found a way under it. That's discouraging. But, you know, I think there's some wins down the road for them. I don't think it's going to be this week, but, you know.
You mentioned, you know, how much time we have. I need to just get a moment here. Your podcast on Sportscasters. How much have you talked? I haven't been keeping up with what's been going on in your world there.
Sure.
The Brady story. There's more on that today with him sort of, you know, like, oh, it's just you people are paranoid and whatever. Like, what is your take and what have people who you've talked to in the business had to say about what's going on with Brady and this conflict of interest?
Well, I think it's been two stories, right? The one before he was in the box with the headphones and then after that, right? It's almost been sort of a marker. I think last year it's something like when Andrew Marchand from The Athletic or Richard Deitch from The Athletic comes on and we talk about these things. I think we all kind of agreed that, you know, they'll regulate it. Those meetings, the coaches know what they're saying, those pregame meetings. Mm-hmm. They, you know, if they feel like they don't want to say something to Brady, they don't have to, you know. I think that when people saw him in the booth with the headset on and you think about, oh, well, he might broadcast a team against that, you know, against that. And is he going to give that information in the headset and all those things? And I know he kind of lectured everyone. I think he did play for Bill Belichick for all those years.
Right.
I mean, I think he was suspended. Now, I don't think he probably should have been. I certainly, as a Saints fan, have found a way to disagree with Roger Goodell and his suspensions from time to time. But I mean, it's crazy to me Brady would come out and lecture everybody today for questioning his integrity.
Right.
Like, you were on the Patriots during the Spygate scandal and the
Deflate Gate and exactly.
Did they ever not have a gate, Bulldog?
Yeah, you do not get to lecture us about in that. Like, it's in one area, like, you know, winning the Super Bowl, being beautiful, getting divorced by a supermodel. These are all things you can lecture me on. Do not lecture me about integrity, Tom Brady.
No. Hell no. Yeah, I think I think he made it worse today, and I think that push for this isn't right could intensify a little bit, and we'll see how Fox reacts to it. I think the biggest problem is I don't think he's that great.
I know.
You know, certainly for what they pay him, and I love announcers, and I don't love to be critical of them. And just that booth as a top booth, I mean, I'm reading a book right now by a guy named Rich Podolsky for the podcast called Madden and Summerall, and that's the bar, right? Like, that's the number one, I think, and certainly in football. And when you go – as a Saints fan, like, when we would be on Monday Night Football, and I'm like, Al Michaels and Frank Gifford and Dan Dierdorf are calling my game? I just never going to see that with Kevin Burkhardt and Brady, I don't think. I love Kevin Burkhardt as a studio. I think he's one of the best going. I don't love him as much as play-by-play. I don't think he's the problem. But I just, during the Super Bowl last year, we were sitting there thinking, man, Brady's just giving me an A-plus broadcaster. And I know he's a rookie, but it was the Super Bowl, and they're paying him like $30 million. Like, we don't grade it on a curve in the Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah, like, I, I, When he started that gig, I said for months on end, he's going to be so good at it that it's going to drive me crazy. Because, you know, I like anyone from Buffalo with a soul, I can't stand him. He tormented us for 20-plus years. And I thought he was going to be great, and that would piss me off. And it's not happening that way. He's just, you know, he's not terrible. He's just a guy. And I don't know.
Greg Olson.
No, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
All right, Steve. We got to go, man. This has been great.
Okay.
You know, I hope we find our way to a Pearl Jam show together one of these days.
Well,
and
the drummer's going to be.
We're going to get a
sixth drummer now. Thank you, Matt Cameron, for all the service, but things are changing. But I think, you know, that's the one spot in the Pearl Jam lineup you can change and you don't. I mean, they've done it plenty of times already, so
we'll
see. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to the next tour. And, yeah, I think you do a show. I've taken just about everyone in my life to a show, Bulldog.
All right, well, I want to get on that list, buddy. So hit me up, and we'll make
so
something
nice
happen.
Of you.
All right.
It really was.
Thank you. No, so nice of you to make the time. Thank you, Steve. Really appreciate it.
Yep.
That is Steve Bennett, host of a fantastic podcast. Seriously, check it out. He talks to everybody, all the big names in broadcasting, the broadcasters is what it's called, and he does an excellent job. There's your Saints preview for the week. We'll hit up a timeout, 803-0550. When I get back into the Bills, the receiving corps, the other 3-0 teams, you know, whatever. We're just talking football, hanging out here on a Wednesday. We'd love to have you. Sal Capaccio in about half an hour. I am the Bulldog. Mike is off today. You are listening to WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, this is some producing, is what this is. A little Pearl Jam for you here on the Mighty 550. Sorry. I could have done better than that. Glad to have you with us here on this Wednesday. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has the day off today. Brady. We ended with, you know, Pearl Jam, notwithstanding, ended with Steve Bennett talking about Brady. And the quote, if you haven't seen this today, I mean, this story, most of you probably know what's going on. Minority owner of the Raiders. He's in these pregame, during the week meetings with opposing teams, some of whom the team he is part owner of is going to be playing in the future. Just conflict of interest, rife with conflict of interest. Brady wrote today, he's got some blog, I don't know, that he posts. I feel I have a moral and ethical duty to the sport, which is why the point where my roles in it intersect is not actually a point of conflict, despite what the paranoid and distrustful might believe. End quote. That is Brady. This is a man who was disciplined for having footballs intentionally deflated. Remember Deflategate? Like, maybe that investigation was the outcome wasn't just railroaded. I don't know. But he got disciplined for that. And Spygate was a much bigger deal. The Patriots got fined, lost draft picks. Coach was fined. I suppose Tom didn't know anything about it, that they were like stealing signals at this complex system of videotaping opposing teams' coaches, sending scouts to games to watch the sideline. Yeah, I'm supposed to believe, like, you are the paragon of integrity when it comes to football, and that anything that could be helpful to your team while you're on a headset during games that you may have learned about a team in one of these meetings, you're not going to use that to your advantage. Sure. Yeah. I mean, how gullible do you got to be? So, like I said with Steve Bennett there at the end of our Saints preview, finger quotes on Saints preview, you can lecture me about a lot of things, Tom Brady. You're better at many things in life than most of us will ever be, most notably playing football and accumulating wealth and, you know, being gorgeous. You want to lecture me about those things? I'm going to listen. That's not my area. Integrity when it comes to football and not perhaps, you know, exploiting an advantage that you have, flat out cheating. I'm not ready to listen to that. So, I don't know. Maybe it'll just go away because, you know, it's hardly a thing that's going to bring the league down or anything, but just not necessary. He's not so good at the broadcasting piece that, to me, if he wants to be an owner, go be an owner. I don't need you in the booth. Somebody can do the job better than you and at worst as good as well as you. So why are we even dealing with this? Why are we even tempting him with this problem? And out here wondering if he's going to find out something about the Bears in a meeting and then use it a couple of weeks later when the Raiders play the Bears. Why are we even bothering? It's very frustrating. And yes, am I biased about this because I despise Tom Brady? Yes. But I do think there's room for objective analysis of the situation to also arrive at the same conclusion. Why do we need to deal with this conflict of interest? I'm just going to trust you? Or I'm going to maybe minimize what my colleagues and what maybe all other broadcasters might get out of one of those meetings? Because if coaches are already in the habit of not wanting to give away any state secrets as it is. But now they perceive a threat. The whole style of those meetings, what's inbounds and out of bounds to be asked and talked about, could change based on his presence. And again, it's not like he's so indispensable to the process that he's got to be the guy that's there. It just makes me nuts. It just seems unnecessary. Go live your, choose one, choose a lane. You're an owner or you're on TV talking about the league. Both pay pretty well, I think. So it just doesn't seem like we need to deal with it. But, you know, I don't know. Like a lot of things, it barely makes sense. 803-0550 is the number. Justin is up first this segment. Hello, Justin. You're on the radio.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. First of all, real quick, I don't even care about that guy. The less I hear about Brady, the better. But honestly, Tom Brady, that is. But honestly, what I really wanted to talk to you about was Joe Brady's play calling. You know, I'm okay if he wants to call 12 to 15 play drives and make things short and sweet. But I wish that they would hurry it up a little more because these weaker teams like Miami, the Jets, and upcoming New Orleans are trying to shorten the game. And the slower we play, the better it is for them. So he can call those lengthy drives, 12 taking service, but let's hurry it up a little bit. I mean, I might be giving away my age a little here, you know, but watching Kelly back in the day, they used to run plays quick. And why? Because they knew the more times you gave Jim Kelly the ball, the likelihood spread is going to be. Imagine, you know, Josh Allen had three possessions in that first half against Miami. Two of them were touchdowns, and one of them was a missed field goal. If you would have given Josh Allen even three more possessions, they're probably winning by 20. So, you know, there would be never any concern. So take all the short stuff, you know, run, pass, balance. I don't care what you do. Do it a little bit quicker. That's all I'm saying. And I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
All right, Justin. Yeah, I think the hurry up has a place. I don't think I'm ready to suggest they get to a place where that is their primary mode of offense, like the 90s Bills with Kelly and the K-Gun were, but I'm not against mixing it in. The thing I would say right now that the Bills are doing, and I don't – you can't argue with the results. We know that. They've got their 30 points a game again already here, and we're, you know, freaking out because the Miami game is tied, you know, at some point in the second half. Like, I get it. You know, I was in the stadium. There were some people that were tense about it. Especially when they lined up to punt and got the ball back because Sealer ran into the punter and like that, the game swung there and who knows what happens, if that doesn't happen. So they're cutting it close. But I think right now their approach is you're not going to make, I don't know. You're not going to post four long drives on us. We're going to do that to you eventually. And that's going to be our margin. That's how we're going to win. We're not going to make mistakes. You will, and we're going to beat you when you do. And that does allow for there to be maybe a little less of a margin that you might like. But I have a hard time really forecasting it being a problem for them when they're getting the results they're getting. You know, I mean, as much as you can advocate and like, look, I'll have the ball more. If I'm going faster, I might make a mistake. And you know what?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A great way to get a team that's a big underdog into a game or keep them in a game is give them the ball on your 30. So their emphasis on taking care of the ball has been something that has really benefited them. And all of the pace of the offense, the style of the offense, the style of the passing game, where Allen's going with the ball and not going with the ball, i.e. downfield that much, all play a part in that. So what? So would we like to see it be even more explosive and more dominant? Sure. But the opponents they're playing right now, I think their approach is prudent. It might be boring. It might leave you a little more uneasy. You're looking at an opponent that you think is vulnerable, and why haven't I not knocked them out yet? I'm leaving them a chance to hit me with a punch and maybe I don't get up. You know, I get all that. I just think their approach right now is called for. Because if you get sloppy with the ball, that's how a 16-point underdog can stay alive against you. Whereas you've just more methodically just sort of take them apart over the course of four quarters. You know, even Miami, they won by 10 with a missed field goal. So I know, like, oh, but. Yeah, I know. You know, there's also a scenario where Sealer doesn't, you know, get called for roughing the punter there. I may have said blocking the punter earlier because I don't know why I have a stumbling block there. But anyway, the Bills don't keep the ball there. They give it to Miami. They go down and score. Are the Bills not going to answer that? You know, I know it's tense. I'm all right so far, I guess. You know, open to suggestions, but I'm all right. I got to take a break. 803-0550 is the number. Sal Capaccio coming up in about 15 minutes. The rundown on what went down today at Bills practice. So stay tuned for that. 803-0550 is the number. I'm the Bulldog. Mike's away today. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.